Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, these two dipshits. How are you two doing?
I mean, I'm not covered in
I'm good. So how are you, Joe? Because no one cares how Jacob is at this point.
That is true. That is...
If I'm not covered in shit-filled baby diapers, Aki doesn't care.
God. Even were, as long as I didn't have to look at you, I still wouldn't
care. So it's a smell thing that works for you, huh?
I don't have a sense of smell, dipshit.
It's the texture. She likes the texture.
She's more into textures. Yes. Gotcha.
God, that made me... I almost vomited from that. Ew. God.
It's about the... textures.
I've shit-filled baby diapers all over baby my chest.
Diapers.
Wait, Aki, do you even know what I look like?
No, and I don't want to.
Wow. So
you should
really
visit the SML Podcast Facebook page where there's a picture of us. Us and Pernell. Aw, it was adorable when the three of us hung out together.
It was.
That one time. How many years ago was that?
It was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. Okay.
Yeah, remember Pernell had a headset review?
Yes.
He came up here to get the headset, and Jacob came up to hang out and drop off a movie and get some plushies.
Oh, what plushies did he get?
Can't talk about it. I'll tell you later.
Am I going to be jealous about this?
No.
Yes or no? Okay.
No, probably not.
I'm good.
It wasn't a 40-inch shark, so I guess...
Hey, sharks are awesome.
I was also supposed to do something while I was up there too, and I don't remember what. I was supposed to drop off the video games for you to sell for me.
Yeah, you were gonna bring up Tulip. I still can't believe you have a sealed copy of fucking Tulip.
Yeah, I bought
it. What the fuck even is that?
Google it quick or eBay it quick.
Yeah, it's like some PS2 dating sim in the vein of
If Chris
Moon?
Taylor were here, he would be like, oh, well, Tulip, I could go off for about 3 hours about this game. And all the offshoots from the company of the people who put it together.
Yeah, it's just it's like a dating sim game in the vein of Harvest Moon. And years ago, and I'm talking years and years ago.
About $100. Nice.
Yeah, but this thing's sealed.
But for sealed, yeah.
Yeah, it goes around somewhere between $200-$300 if it's sealed.
Yeah. And he just has it fucking sitting around his house.
It's just sitting in my house. I bought it on clearance at Walmart for $10 years ago because I just come into possession of a PS2 and I bought that in a Fatal Fury and an Art of Fighting collection. And I think I also have a World Heroes collection as well. And I just bought these four games because they were all on clearance over at Walmart for $10 each. And I never opened them, any of them.
And now Tulip is actually worth something.
Well, the other games are too. I mean, nowhere near as much, but it's still it's still a complete profit.
True.
I bought them for 10 and they go for 40 sealed. So
yeah, but whatever. Think of how much that $10 was 20 years ago.
About $15 now.
25, 30 years ago. Think about that.
Wait, hold it. Why are we jumping
40
that far back?
Years it's been. 40 years you've had Tulip just sealed.
I don't think I've had Tulip that long. I'm not even 40 years old.
So 60 years it's been. How's it been holding that game for 60 years, Jacob? Just a treasured heirloom from generations past.
I had it signed by William McKinley, our president at the time. It's pretty great, back in the very early 1900s.
Tulip survived the Great Depression. Oh my God. So Aki, how's your week been?
Busy. I've been playing almost exclusively one of my review games this entire time.
While we're talking, or this week?
This week. Okay. That's why he asked about the week. So
yeah.
This week. You derp. Anyways, so
you act like we listen to each other.
I'm not listening to you at all. I'm just sitting here sweating my ass off.
Yeah. That.
I have a nice air conditioner in my office.
I would have mine on, but it's noisy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why you buy one with a quiet setting.
I have a fan. That's it. It's.
I wish I had a fan.
My fan's too loud.
I wish you had a fan too, Joe.
I know.
Then somebody might listen.
Exactly. Ah, someone got it. So news. Let's get to news since you two are unentertaining this week.
Thank you.
PlayStation Plus. They revealed a lot of details about the upcoming changes. PlayStation Plus with the extra and the premium tiers. And there's a lot of games coming to the service. They mentioned that they're going to have a few hundred games available, and they revealed a select few of them on their website. The PS4 and PS5 games are going to be part of the extra and the premium tiers, the premium being the most expensive and the extra being the mid tier. And then essential is just basic what it is now, where you just get like the 3 monthly games for free. That's about it. But the game catalog for the extra and the premium tiers, the PS4, PS5, they have games like Bloodborne on there, Days Gone, Death Stranding, Everybody's Golf, Ghost of Tsushima, God of War, Gravity Rush games, Horizon, Infamous. They have Knack, but not Knack 2, which confused me. I was like, what's up with that?
I don't know what Knack is.
The PlayStation game.
Oh. Gotcha.
Know how we're talking about PlayStation Plus?
I actually did not. I thought we were talking about Game Pass.
I fucking said Jesus PlayStation. Christ. You dipshit.
Why is he the co-host with me? I don't understand. I at least knew what you were talking about. I don't always have news, but I at least listen to what you fucking say.
No, you don't. Usually. Don't lie.
I do usually, just not always. Sometimes I'm playing video games.
So yeah, PlayStation Plus. Information, Jacob.
Is that on the Switch?
You fucking idiot. Let's see. Marvel, Spider-Man, and Miles Morales. The Patapon games. Returnal, which is pretty cool. I've been eyeing that one up, and now I won't have to buy it because it'll just be on the good old PlayStation Plus service. Shadow of the Colossus, Tearaway, Uncharted games, Until Dawn. And then they mentioned some third-party partners with a big news bit that Ubisoft Plus is going to be coming to PlayStation.
That is a little shocking. Yeah. That hasn't come to Xbox yet, and that was originally what it was announced for.
Yeah.
Being on Xbox, and it still isn't there. I'm surprised.
Yeah, it's not on PlayStation Plus yet. It's not on PlayStation yet. Ubisoft Plus is hitting PlayStation, but it's not hitting PlayStation Plus. Ubisoft Plus Classics is hitting PlayStation Plus, just to make this shit more confusing.
I hate rich companies. They have to make things complicated.
They do. But Ubisoft Plus Classics is going to be a lineup of older Ubisoft games. They have 27 at launch with 50 planned by the end of the year. These will be included in the second and third tiers of PlayStation Plus. They have like Assassin's Creed Valhalla's on there, Far Cry 3, Far Cry 4, the two South Park games, the First Division, Trials Fusion and Rising, and Blood Dragon. Steep is on there, Starlink for some reason. Remember that game?
No.
Jacob, do you have any Starlink shit?
Yeah, I bought the game like years ago. I only have it digitally. But I've never fired it up once.
Was me that neither. The one where you had to buy real life toy ships?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shit's so stupid.
I don't know. Honestly, I was pretty stoked because, I mean, like, worst case scenario, you get like a cool little model to put up on like your bookcase or something, you know, along with all your rich
Worst case scenario, you buy a full priced game and then have to buy a fuck ton of toys to have everything in the fucking game that's already in the fucking game. That's the worst case scenario.
True.
I fucking hate that shit. Because I am the target audience for that shit. If I would have bought that game, I'd have all of that shit. I don't have that kind of fucking money.
Well, the good thing is you didn't need the toys.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need a lot of things.
No. I'm serious. You didn't need to buy the toys. They sold them all digital.
Oh, they did? Oh.
Yeah. So you could buy like a complete version of the game now with all the ships and bullshit with it and not have to have any figures or toys.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's more doable. Okay. I wonder how much that costs to have all that stuff, though.
I have no clue.
$30 when it's on sale.
Really? That's it? That's not bad.
Okay. Yeah. It goes on sale pretty, I don't know, I'd say like once or twice a year. And it's like $30-$35. And like you get the game and you get, I think, like the first two, like what you would call a season pass. And I don't think it's everything, but it's damn near close. Like,
yeah.
It's like whatever, because it's not like they're supporting the game anymore.
No, it's long dead.
Yeah. I knew that part.
Yeah. Also surprising, part of the Ubisoft Classics, they have some PSVR games in there, like Eagle Flight and Werewolves Within and Star Trek Bridge Crew. So that's pretty cool to see those included.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. I don't think there's a lot of VR games on any of this stuff, is there?
No, not really. So
it's cool to have a few of them for free.
Some other third-party games that we're going to see on the PS4 and PS5 side of things are Ashen, which is pretty neat because that was originally an Xbox thing. Celeste is on there, Dead Cells, Final Fantasy 15, Mortal Kombat 11, Outer Wilds, NBA 2K22. So they're bringing it with the games that they have. And then there's the classic catalog, which so far is pretty disappointing.
I only want to know one thing about this. Does it have Legend of Dragoon?
Not yet.
Then I don't give a shit.
Well, I'm assuming there's going to be a lot more games. They only announced, 10 PS1 games.
That's it?
Yeah. Ape Escape, Hot Shots Golf, Intelligent Cube, Jumping Flash, Siphon Filter, Mr. Driller, Tekken 2, and then two Worms games, and then there's a PSP game in there as well, Super Stardust Portable.
Okay, so they have two good games out of all of that. Okay.
Yeah, that's all so far.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I liked that Cube game back in the day. I thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah, Intelligent Cube. I had a buddy, like I used to share accounts with a friend in Europe, just because they had IQ for purchase and America didn't.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. Good stuff. And then they mentioned remasters, which are like the PS4 re-releases that they had
of
PS2 games. Ape Escape 2 is on there. Dark Cloud 1 and 2. Hot Shots Tennis. The Jack games. Rogue Galaxy. Siren. Wild Arms 3. Third-party partners, Kingdoms of Amalur, Re-Reckoning, Lego Harry Potter Collection, Borderlands, Bioshock. So, they have some good stuff on there.
Yeah, that listing is a lot better than the PlayStation 1 listing, which is fucking garbage. Yeah,
the PS1 list is just depressing so far. I really hope they bring more. So, and then there's going to be PS3 streaming games, only available as part of the premium plan, like the top-tier super duper plan. Let's see, what good stuff do they have on here? Demon Souls is on there, the two Hot Shots games, the Infamous games, Motor Storm, which is pretty cool. I like those games. Some Ratchet and Clank titles. Third party, they have, I don't think there's anything here that's not available on Xbox. Ashura's Wrath, Castlevania, Lords of Shadow 2, Devil May Cry Collection, Enslaved, Fear, Lost Planet 2, Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2, and Red Dead Redemption.
It's still a decent grouping of games, at least.
Yeah. So that's what we're looking for with PlayStation Plus. They're also going to have Time Trial. The only ones that they mentioned so far of those are Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection, Horizon Forbidden West, Cyberpunk, Tiny Tina's Wonderland, WWE 2K22, and Farming Simulator 22.
I don't know why Cyberpunk 2077 has a fucking timed anything. They couldn't give those fucking games away earlier. I remember in some places, if you bought anything from some stores, they gave you a free Cyberpunk just to get rid of it. I think they did the same thing with Fallout 76 as well.
Probably.
I don't understand why they're like, oh, yes, let's just have this timed.
Yeah, well, you're going to have a two-hour time trial on those, so...
2 hours isn't even enough to get through the fucking tutorial of...
It's enough to determine if you want to buy it. I think 2 hours is plenty.
For Cyberpunk, by the time I had gotten to where it had that opening screen finally that said, Cyberpunk, I was like 60 hours into the bitch.
You also did like everything except the main quest.
Yeah, for that area. Yeah, yeah. And then it opened up and I stopped playing it because it was...
My cat is bugging me. She's just like climbing all over me. So now I'm going to bother her and scare her off. Yay.
Aw.
So Game Pass. Now we'll get to Game Pass since that's what Jacob thought we were talking about earlier.
Oh, I love Nintendo Switch Online.
Fuckhead. Available now on Game Pass, we got Her Story on PC. Which I've heard a lot about this one, but I've never played it. Aki, yeah, have you played it?
No, I
did. Seems like not. Your kind of game.
If it's the one I'm thinking of, and it very well may not be, you're basically acting like a lawyer or something, and you're trying to figure out the truth, and it's all subjective by going through different bits of information. If it's the game I'm thinking of, but again, I'm not 100% sure.
I don't know. Carnage is saying it's similar to Telling Lies. And it took him 1 hour to 1K it. Yay.
Well, then, I'm interested.
That's all that matters. Other games coming to Game Pass this week. We got Jurassic World Evolution 2. Skate Hit the Cloud. Farming Sim 22. That's fucking everywhere these days. Little Witch in the Woods hit game preview right at launch. And Umurangi Generation Special Edition. Launch to Game Pass as well. That looks like something you'd want to play, Aki.
The Umurangi game?
Yeah.
What kind of game is it?
I don't know, but it just sounds like something you would want to play.
Yeah, I have a I feel like I looked that up and it was a bullet hell type game, but I'm not
sure. I thought it was like a photography game.
I have no idea anymore. I don't remember things for more than like 5 minutes typically, so...
Hey, I know the feeling. My memory's going.
That's because you're old, though.
Yeah. Oh, and then Vampire Survivors, which Carnage has been going absolutely nuts about this game. He is so excited that this game is on Game Pass, and he's so disappointed that there's no Xbox achievements yet.
Hi, babe.
But apparently they're going to add them, and they're going to be retroactive, so...
Oh, good.
There you go. Next week, we're getting Hardspace Shipbreaker to PC launch, and Floppy Nights is launching on Game Pass.
AKA Joe's Evenings.
You know what I mean? Floppy Nights and Hardspace. May 26th, Sniper Elite 5 launching right to Game Pass.
Yes!
I know you're excited about that one, Aki.
Yeah, I fucking love snipery games. Sniper and stealth, my favorite two genres.
And then May 27th, PC is getting Cricket 22, thank God. Yes. Pac-Man Museum Plus is launching right to Game Pass.
Okay. I mean, that thing's supposed to cost like, what was it, 40?
I think so. Like 30, 40 bucks, something big.
All right, sweet. So I'll just play it on Game Pass until like it's on sale.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Not all good news, though. Some games have to leave Game Pass, and we are losing.
They really don't.
Well, they do, but
we're
losing NHL 20 through EA Play.
Okay.
Heartbreaking, I know. Knockout City is leaving Game Pass because it's going free to play. What do you mean,
You're right. It is a photo game.
It never really did that much for me, and I tried.
You bitch. You didn't play with me.
Well, yeah, I know I didn't. But
bitch.
Okay.
Bitch. Jacob
it just
is ugh.
It just wasn't my kind of thing.
So. Knockout City's better than Jacob. I agree, Carnage.
There are a lot of things that are better than me. I mean,
yeah.
Everything, you mean?
I mean, like, Yeah. I mean, like, Two Human is better than me. Drake and the 99 Dragons is better than me. Not yeah. New Legends, though. That game sucks major dick. I fucking hated that game.
I don't think I played that one.
You hated it, it's probably still better than you.
Are Gilson B. Pontus games better than you, Jacob?
Well, yes, they are artistic masterpieces.
That one's actually debatable, and I'm not going to lie. That one may not be better at all.
I don't know. I
have to give Jacob a little fucking credit. Not much, but a little.
Nice, nice. See, deep down, I think Aki likes me a smidge.
Maybe a smidge.
Yeah, a smidge. She appreciates the fact I make carbon dioxide for plants.
Yeah, plants are.
That's about all you do. Yeah. Some other games leaving Game Pass. Spellforce 3 is leaving PC Game Pass. Yes, Your Grace is leaving. Super Hot Mind Control Delete. Resident Evil 7. And then the heartbreaker of them all, Farming Sim 19.
Oh, Resident Evil 7 is leaving Game Pass? That's not good.
So better play it now. You haven't until the end of the month.
It was kind of weird when you said super hot.
Mind control delete.
Yeah, because at first I thought you were just saying like because the way you said it was like it was super hot as in like sexy, not like super hot. Like my brain didn't identify it as super hot.
Super.
Like
hot. Super. Hot. Super. Fall Guys is coming to Xbox and Switch fucking finally.
Yay.
June 21st is when it launches on Xbox, Switch, and Epic Games Store. It will be free to play. Legacy players will get 3 costumes and the first season pass. There will be cross-play, cross-progression. Game Pass gets monthly costumes for 3 months. So maybe we'll get some cool Xbox-related costumes. Who knows?
That's what I figure.
And a level editor is finally coming. So people can make their own levels, and I don't know if you're going to be able to share them or what they're going to do, but could be cool. Hopefully this breathes some new life into the game.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think.
Nacon has announced Greedfall 2, The Dying World, will be coming in 2024 on PC and console.
Aki,
I know you're excited about that one.
What game?
Greedfall 2, do you not listen?
Oh, yes. Oh, I was looking up Resident Evil. I wanted to make sure whether I owned it or not. And I'm still not sure. Yes, I am very excited for that. I really like the first game. I still need to play the DLC. Because they had DLC for the first game.
Yeah.
And I didn't know until well after it came out that it existed.
Well, pick it up now.
Oh, what are you waiting for?
Oh, well, then there you go.
Once I figured out they had it, I bought it. I just, I'm always too busy. I haven't had a chance to even install the game.
I reinstalled that Outward game because it re-released on Series X and PS5 this past week. And if you own the game and the 2 DLCs, you get it free. I already had the game, and the 2 DLCs together were under $10. So nice. I just bought 2 DLCs and got the $40 game for free.
Very nice.
Yeah. Yay.
Wait, so is that offer still going, or
do you own the game?
I'm fucking finding out right now. Outward?
Yes. You know that one I offered you for review this past week? And you were like, "No, I'm not interested."
Oh, that one. Yeah, never mind. I don't care.
Yeah, because there's survival elements in it, and you're like, fuck that.
Oh, he rejected it for the same reason I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, once I found out that it's just like, oh, yeah, by the way, you can succumb to, like, hunger, diarrhea, like, catching a cold, and I'm like, yeah, fuck this.
This is too realistic for me.
Just done.
I succumb to diarrhea daily.
Yeah. Like, you have to drink every 5 minutes in the game.
Oh, fuck that.
And I'm just like, that's just a fucking irritation at that point. I don't.
Well, maybe they rebalanced it. Who knows?
No, that was one of the things they very specifically was one of the, I guess, positives of the game. I don't know how anyone ever saw that as a positive, but that was one of the pros of the game. Have to drink every 5 minutes, and if you don't and you get thirsty, it impacts your ability to do damage and other things as well. I'm just like, that just sounds like a very work. Irritating life simulator, and I have enough irritations in life as is.
I was about to say, like, life already irritates us enough. No, thank you.
Yeah. If they had, like, an option to where you could just turn that shit off, I would have been much more for that game. But with that stuff on, no. I'd rather shoot myself in the face. At least I'm honest about it.
True.
Not nice, but honest.
The next gen versions of The Witcher 3 are now slated for Q4 2022. I guess we should say the current gen versions, because it's not next gen anymore.
This is very true.
Yeah. And then last bit of news I have is the new Test Drive Unlimited is now slated for a 2023 release.
Who is the guy who made Mighty Number 9?
Oh, was it Keiji Inafune?
Yeah.
He's making NFTs now.
Of course he is. Fucking course he is.
Shocking.
Yeah, Beastroids, and apparently I think they're supposed to be a game that's going along with it too or something. And I just can't be bothered because Mighty Number 9, I think, already told everyone he's garbage.
Dwaggy in chat is mentioning that Test Drive was also scrapped for PS4 and Xbox One, so it's only going to be on PS5 and Series. So I did not see that.
Of late that they've done that for.
Yeah, bring it on. Drop it for old consoles, the new ones. It's been long enough. Support the new stuff. Drop the old stuff. It's, you know, those old consoles are just a bottleneck.
Also, it looks like Ubisoft has relisted that Prince of Persia game, the one that was the offshoot. Sorry, completely off topic.
If it's like, news, it's not off topic.
Well, no, I mean, it's not related to what Joe's talking about. But anyway.
But which, I don't know which Prince of Persia you're talking
about. It's the one that was just called Prince of Persia, and it was like the one that doesn't follow like the main line or anything like that. It was like a new chapter, new prince, new whatever, and like you couldn't die or anything like that. It just restarted you where you were. Do you recall
what platform?
Xbox 360.
Oh, I thought you were talking about something new.
No. I said they relisted it because and the thing is, I don't think it was ever like technically gone, because it used to show up in Ubisoft sales, but you would never be able to buy it, like, for whatever reason, and I just bought it, and it's $5, so fucking get it now, guys. Folks.
Jazzy.
Yeah.
I forgot what game you were talking about already.
Prince of Persia.
I'm guessing I have it already.
Probably. I only care about the original.
Well, that's on sale, too.
It's on Xbox?
Prince of Persia Classic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it's been on the 360 since, like, God, probably like at least 2008. Let's see if they have a date for it. 2007.
Actually. I thought all the Prince of Persia games were PlayStation exclusives.
No? What?
I think it's only the first game, though. Like, the original first game.
Ah, so the rest of them are exclusive then.
Yeah, but I mean, like...
No, I don't think there's any exclusive Prince of Persia games on PlayStation.
I don't know.
Unless it's like PS2 era, maybe.
Well, I was going to say, I thought that there was, yeah. Isn't that where most of
those games were in the PS2 era?
Well, yeah. I mean, PS2, Xbox 360.
PS2 would have been with original Xbox, not 360.
Right, I know, but I meant like it went over into the next generation. Mm. And that's where it also kind of died.
Yeah. I don't know, it doesn't matter. What other news you got?
Oh, okay. Oh, my turn?
All right. Sure. Whoever wants to.
So some dad out in California is trying to do a class action lawsuit against Activision Blizzard for Hearthstone, because his daughter secretly spent more than $300 using his credit card on packs without getting all the cards that she wanted or whatever. And so they're claiming that the game tricks players into non-refundable purchases without knowing the odds of being able to get rare cards.
I mean, it probably doesn't.
And also the it has no parental controls to prevent like kids from using like their parents' credit card. But the thing is that because they live out in California, he's tried to do it under this thing called the California Family Code, which gives minors the rights to get out of contracts and gain refunds.
That's stupid. Nice. Now he should be held accountable. Learn to parent better. Pay attention to what your kids are doing.
It's kind of like back when all those parents were getting pissy about like iPhone games not having like parental controls for games where you could buy like in-game currency and all that kind of shit.
How about just sitting your kid down and beating the shit out of them?
I support that.
Is awful.
I think that's illegal.
Yeah,
that's what my mom. If I had done shit like that as a kid, that's what my mom would have done. She knocked the shit out of me. And she wouldn't have thought twice about it, and I never would have fucking done that again.
Yeah, things were different when we were kids. Oh man, when I was a kid, my mom used to whip me and send me in for cigarettes.
Shit, when I was a teenager, my mom still made me hold a fucking thing of goddamn soap in my mouth.
You deserve it.
Yes, I did, and that was a punishment I've been very familiar
you
with.
You still deserve it. You still deserve it. I didn't say you deserved it. You deserved it. You still do. Probably. How filthy you are.
I'm a filthy fuck.
And yeah, you are.
It's fucking fantastic.
We wouldn't know you're a lesbian.
Somehow my mom didn't know that either for a long time. It's called denial, is what I've determined. She in high school, she caught me making out with one of my girlfriends. She didn't know I was gay until I was in my fucking 20s when I came out to her.
One of your girlfriends, so you had multiple at that time? Nice.
Yeah.
Go
I've had multiple girlfriends many times.
You pimp. Look at you.
I believe in polyamory. It's fantastic.
Big of me is rather big of me.
God, that was actually good. I hate that.
Anyway.
All right, what other news?
Well, since we're going to talk about people's private areas, Call of Duty Warzone is having this thing called Operation Monarch, which sees King Kong and Godzilla invading some place, I don't know, and the players have to like fight the beasts and each other. And players have discovered that if you take a helicopter underneath King Kong and use the helicopter's blades, you can hit King Kong's testicles and get essentially an infinite stream of XP.
What the fuck?
Which I would like to remind you all that XP is stored in the balls.
This is my favorite story. So you lost all your XP as well. You just learned.
Oh my God. Something Carnage mentioned. I forgot to bring this up. I just remembered the game Forgotten Anne was delisted from stores.
It's supposed to come back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. I was getting to that point. Oh, that's the news.
Fuck you.
Yeah. The publishing rights are reverting back to the developer. Square Enix has pulled the game and the developers are going to republish it themselves. So it will be back, but not sure when. It could take a few weeks.
Oh, okay. Good. Because that's a good game. Everyone should go play it. I reviewed it.
I bought it. I haven't
good. You should play it. It's fantastic.
I have games to review for this podcast.
Yeah. I understand that.
Yeah.
All right. And I do have one last bit of news.
Is it Sonic related?
Sonic the Hedgehog 2 movie watch.
Fucking knew it.
Of course he did. So, it is coming to digital retailers expected May 25th with a price tag of $20 to get it in 4K.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all.
I'll just watch it for free like a week later when everyone has ripped it and thrown it all over the internet.
No, that's not nice. You're admitting the piracy on a public podcast. That's smart.
Anyway, so yeah,
I'll give you her email address, FBI. Just hit me up, I'll let you know.
Also send it over to Paramount Pictures and see if they'll give us some free Star Trek swag in return for hockey.
I'm not worth that damn much.
True.
I'm at least hoping for a pin.
Not worth that much.
Which, by the way, I now found like the Star Trek collectible I absolutely need to have. They do these like little autograph cards that they slip into like card packs now. And they have various cast members sign them. And Tig Notaro, who plays Jet Reno on Star Trek Discovery, she signs it as Tig's autograph and then signs Jet Reno underneath. And it's absolutely beautiful. And I'm just like, that's exactly in character, too, because Tig more or less just plays herself.
So. Nice.
Cool, I think.
It is pretty cool. But anyway, Aki, okay. Do you have news?
I've already done my news.
Oh, do you have more news?
Oh, you could get the card for $40 on eBay.
Oh, that's how she signed it, too, on there?
There's a bunch of them like that. Just says Tig's autograph. Tig's autograph, Tig's autograph, Tig's autograph, Jet Reno.
He
Reno, you said it was?
With an autograph, Jet Reno. Like I do with soft animals. What the hell?
Yeah, I know, but it's, it's Tig Notaro. I
don't know that, actually.
She's pretty fantastic. I'm surprised you don't know Tig Notaro.
Yeah, I'm not good with names, first and foremost, so I might actually know who this person is and not realize I know who it is. But I didn't watch a whole bunch of Star Trek, so...
Did you watch that zombie movie by Zack Snyder that was on Netflix? What was it? Land of the... It wasn't Land of the Dead. It was like...
The Walking Dead?
No.
No.
I don't know.
Wasn't Batista
Army of the
in
Dead
it?
Or something? Yeah, Batista's in it, and... they had somebody else in there, and then like they had to digitally remove them, and so they just refilmed all that person's scenes with Tig Notaro.
Oh, wasn't it T.J. Miller was originally in it?
I think so.
And they pulled him completely and just pasted her over everything, and it looks amazing. Like you can't tell at all that she wasn't part of the movie originally.
Now I'm trying to find that
is
out.
Is she also a stand-up comedian?
Yes.
Yeah, we said that.
Oh, I missed that part. Okay, I do not recognize her face at all.
Army of the Dead, and she replaced Chris D'Elia.
Oh, Chris D'Elia. Ah, all right. D.J. Miller was Deadpool, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right.
Of course he's right. He knows what he's talking about, unlike us.
No, I don't.
I was trying to give you a compliment. Just fucking accept it, you dick.
No. No. So, any other news?
I'm wearing pants.
No one cares. We're glad you are, but no one cares.
If I was live streaming right now, you would care.
But you're not, so I don't.
So, are we just jumping to reviews then?
Yes.
Or we could have pants talk.
First game to talk about tonight is called Evil Dead the Game, developed by Saber Interactive, published by Saber Interactive and Boss Team Games, released May 13th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and Epic Game Store for $39.99. Step into the shoes of Ash Williams or his friends from the iconic Evil Dead franchise and work together in a game loaded with over-the-top co-op and PvP multiplayer action. Plays a team of four survivors exploring, looting, and managing your fear and finding key items to seal the breach between worlds. Jacob, tell us about your time with Evil Dead the Game.
Okay, so there's a lot to this game, especially if you've never played this type of pretty much played this type of game before. I mean, it's not just like a simple like, you know, one side versus another multiplayer game. And so you're taking characters from the Evil Dead series, and so it's, you know, the movies, but also the Evil Dead TV show that was on Starz for a few years.
Ash versus Evil Dead.
Right. And so you can make up teams like based on whoever you want, but like
everyone's gonna pick Bruce Campbell.
Well, yeah, of course. And that's who I naturally went for too. Yeah. But of course you could choose from multiple Bruce Campbells too.
Is the female version in there? Remake movie or whatever the fuck it was?
I thought she was, but I honestly just stuck to Bruce Campbell the whole entire time. I'm like 99% sure that she is, but okay. Anyway.
Cool.
But yeah, and so like it's actually possible to make an entire team of nothing but Bruce's, which is obviously what you should be doing. And so, yeah. And so you get dropped off. So there are two teams. You're either the survivors or you're like the supernatural, you know, ghosts, zombies, monsters. Like monsters, whatever. And you get to pick your sides. And if you're on the survivor side, then first off, obviously you have to survive the whole game. But you have to collect weapons, collect like different supplies that can help you do certain stuff. And then you have to collect all the pieces of the map, which will then get you the location of the dagger. And then once you get the dagger, you have to take on like the final boss fight. And it's a lot. It is a lot to get done in one game. And like, and getting everyone to get everything to happen is very difficult. It's not impossible, but it's difficult.
Like this is a game where working with strangers is going to suck.
Yeah. Well, it gets a little bit worse after, like, let me just get through the main parts of the game. So then when you're controlling like the monster side, you know, you could toss all sorts of stuff at, you know, the survivors and, you know, just do your best to make their lives living hell during it. But of course,
like you do with me.
Yeah, but this game was fun. So
what? Making fun of Aki isn't?
You know,
come on, it's fun.
It eventually starts getting to the part where you just start pitying her.
Good. Pity more.
Anyway, so there are tools at your disposal if you're on the survivor side. Like, you can make campfires, which, of course, you know, create light and help you out. You can gather amulets. You can even drive a car around and run over a bunch of monsters. It really tries going for the Evil Dead vibe, and for the most part, it does it really well. I mean, everyone, like, the graphics look great, but at the same time, it's dark as fuck. And like, yes, I get it. It's a horror game. Like, you know, it's based on Evil Dead, which didn't have a lot of lighting to begin with, because it's the ambiance, blah, blah, blah. It was really fucking difficult to read shit. And one of the things I liked in the tutorial was that, like, there were a bunch of signs that would explain stuff to you, and like they were like huge, and like you could walk up to them and they'd get bigger for you, or like, you know, and then once you get away from these signs, you're just like trying to read like this little tiny ass text on all the different like weapons and stuff like that, and it's just everything's really hard to read, everything's really hard to see. And I know that's part of like what they're going for, but it's just, it's frustrating unless you're sitting right in, like in front of your TV. Like, even with a big 50-inch TV, it was still hard for me to read everything.
That's one of the negatives with games these days in general, is just everything is designed for like being 2 feet away from your computer monitor instead of a TV.
Yeah, I think they expect us all to be like streamers now, like where we're just sitting right there in front of our TVs or computer monitors. But yeah, so you could, so there's all sorts of stuff to do. And there's different multiplayer matches, that you could do, but not, there isn't really that much, variety to it. I mean, I figure that they're going to be doing more with this game eventually. I mean, they have to, because if you've read any of the discussions on True Achievements, like, people are already saying, like, this game is going to take, like, 80 to 100 hours to 1K due to some of the achievements, unless, like, they offer, like, double XP weekends or something like that.
Carnage says longer. Oy.
Oh, no. The calculations I had read said 80 to 100, so yikes. So generally it's a fun game. It's frustrating when you're playing online. But the problem is that like, there's no real cohesion, 'cause again, you're playing with strangers, and I don't know if this was just early on or if like, this is how it's supposed to be. But after every single multiplayer game, like the game just empties out your lobby and dumps you back at the main screen. And so like, unless you've been starting like parties and stuff like that, like you Yeah, like you're just gonna get like a new batch of randos like every single time. Now on the plus side, like there's no griefing in the game. Like you can't kill your other teammates or anything like that.
That's good.
Which is, yeah, because like you're gonna be swinging around like an axe or a machete in real close quarters, because the game does tell you like, hey, you kind of do need to stick together on this. And I can confirm, if you try to lone wolf it, you're just going to get fucked every single time. This game really is about teamwork, and just, you know, struggling to make it through.
Hey, teamwork makes the dream work. Ever forget that.
Now, the one thing I didn't like was, I mean, aside from like, you know, it's hard to see a damn thing in this game. There's also a fear meter, like as if this game wasn't already hard enough for the survivors. There's a fear meter, which, you know, as you're getting into darker areas and you fight more zombies and stuff like that, you get more scared and you're not able to do as much. But so then you have to have teammates help you out, or you have to find like a light source and then your fear goes away. But then like, you know, you step like 50 feet away from it again, and all of a sudden, like, you could hear like your character getting afraid again. And it's just like, because like it affects like how you're attacking and stuff like that. And it's just like, oh my god, I'm just trying to get
sack up. You're in an action game. Come on.
Nah, the fear, like, honestly, in my opinion, the fear meter, like, I get it, but it's just like the game for the survivors is already difficult enough without it. Just adding to it just makes it's more frustrating in my opinion. But yeah, it's like, I honestly think there's a lot of longevity to this game. If you're a fan of
those achievements, you better hope there's a lot of longevity, right?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's what I figure. That there's going to be more coming for this game, like in some DLC form.
They have Season Pass 1, which has 4 DLCs coming, so.
Oh, well then, yeah, so there will be longevity for it. But yeah, it's just like, if you're a fan of Dead by Daylight and you're looking for something new, this is definitely a game I'd recommend checking out. If you're new to this kind of multiplayer game, I don't know if I'd recommend this as like your starting point. It's a tad difficult, but... But
best with friends if you have a party ready to go.
Yeah, if you've and there is crossplay for this game. So,
that's good.
So yeah, so if you've got like-minded friends, you know, I definitely recommend it for that. But as I said, if you're by yourself and you don't have like a regular group that you're going to be able to play this with, you might want to wait for a sale on it.
All right, well, $40, your official verdict.
$40. It's a good worth for it. For $40, definitely. And with the DLC stuff coming out later, the deluxe edition, you know, I think that's 60.
Yeah, deluxe is 60. Season pass is 30 by itself, so you save $10 going that route.
Yeah, you might as well just get the deluxe edition. But yeah, I thought it was fun and an interesting take, and I think that there's plenty of room for improvement with it. But yeah, it's not one to sleep on.
Cool.
I'd recommend it.
All right, next up is Hellgunner, developed by Sergio Polveroni, published by Rattle Lake Games, released May 13th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $4.99. Jump into Hellgunner and get ready to shoot zombies, monsters, and more. Explore massive 2D maps, shoot down enemy combatants, and blast your way through 20 levels. Can you take down the tough boss at the end of each area? Jacob, how did you do in Hellgunner?
I mean, I did take down bosses and stuff like that. It is a top-down shooter, very retro-inspired. The graphics look like, you know, somewhere like halfway between like NES and Super NES quality. And it's all happening during some sort of zombie invasion, but at the same time, the military wants to shoot you too for reasons that the game doesn't really explain. And yeah, you just move through these levels, and there are multiple difficulty settings like easy, medium, normal, and hard. And easy really does feel like a breeze. Normal is like it's a little challenging. But honestly, this game moves at like a molasses pace. And it's just it's the same thing over and over again. Like, I mean, yeah, the levels vary a little bit, but like the game doesn't exactly like give you like a hard, like, oh, this is where the exit is. You just have to pick up like 5 boxes per level. And then like, you just wander until the game's just like, oh, hey, by the way, it's time for the next level.
It really felt like the levels would start and end when they felt like it. Like some stages, like, you would pick up the boxes, and I missed one at the beginning, and I still beat the stage. Like, it just, after so long, I collected so many boxes, and I picked one up, and it was just like, all right, next stage. Like, did I not need that one at the beginning? Like, I guess not.
You know what? That might have been, was it the secret one? Was it the purple one?
No, I got I got all the secret boxes.
But yeah, it's just like, it moves slow, and then eventually you pick up a survivor, and like your gun, like, and he's supposed to help, but like, I don't know what he was helping with. Like, the game
was, makes, he supposed sort of to help? I thought it was just like an escort mission.
Was that it? Because then he disappeared, and I was just like, oh, maybe he died finally. I don't like, I don't know. Like,
there's so much I didn't know about the game. I just fucking played it.
Like, it's just, dude, I don't like, I was frustrated with this game because it's just like the gun shoots slow. You move slow, like, all the levels look the same, like, it doesn't really, like, say, hey, here's the end, or, like, make it clear, and, like, yeah, eventually your weapons do kind of get upgraded, and it's like, okay, cool, and now pew-pew's slightly faster, like, and then, like, but you still run out of your bullets, because you can only have, like, 60 or 64 bullets at a time or something like that, and then you have to wait for your meter to come back up, which was a feature I thought was kind of interesting, because it did make me have to run around a few bosses. Like, I had to do laps around them a couple of times to wait for my bullets to build back up.
See, I, instead of holding the trigger down, I would just, like, tap the trigger really quick.
Well, okay.
Yeah, because then the gauge wouldn't go down as quick.
All right, well, maybe my guy just wants to get his cardio in. Like, whatever. Anyway, and then, like, so you have bosses, and I don't recall there being, like, an HP thing that would tell me, like, how long I had to keep shooting. So it's just, all right, I'm just going to keep running around the boss. That's fine. Like, I don't know. It's just...
The one on the train tracks, it felt like it took forever to beat that one.
Oh, my God. Like, what is it? Like, stage, like, 1-4 or something like that? I think, I don't know. There was a few with train tracks, but I know.
I mean, the boss on the train tracks.
Okay. Yeah. All right. But it's just, oh man, I wanted to like this game. I thought it was going to be okay. And it's just, for me, it was just dull. It's competently made. It needs to speed up. And then, like, I might be more okay with it, like, in terms of how quickly my gun fires, like, right off the bat. Because it's just, like, I get shooters where it's like, okay, haha, you're stuck with a shot. Like, you're stuck with your little, like, pea shooter pistol for, like, the first 2 levels. But then we'll move you up to a shotgun, and then, like, you'll quickly discover all the other weapons. And it's just, like, this game's like, nope, you're going to get stuck with, a wimpy-ass pistol for, like, with 60 bullets in it. I don't know, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But it's just like, all right, we're going to stick you with this for a while, and each of these levels like ends at an arbitrary thing, which we're not going to tell you how it ends. just, okay, like, I don't know. Like,
the plus side is it's a really easy completion.
Yeah, it is. Like, this should take you like 2 hours or so.
It took me 46 minutes, according to TA, to beat the game with all the hidden boxes.
It took Joe 46 minutes to beat the game. All right.
Yep. How long did it take you?
I'm not entirely sure.
So, $5 on this one. What do you think?
So, for $5, I would recommend it as if you're an achievement hunter trying to do your 1K, yeah. But otherwise, like, there's a lot other better games out there. Like, I'm sorry, but this is one that I can't really recommend.
No, not a fan.
Nah.
Oh well, I like this one, but you're the reviewer, not me.
I mean, you helped with the review, so.
Yeah, I bought the game. I thought it was worth the $4 I paid for it, because it's on sale for the first week for $3.99, so I had fun with it for four and change. I guess I would give it a fuck it, why not? It's cheap, it's enjoyable, it didn't offend me in any way. So
Do games usually offend you?
They talk shit about my mom all the time, I'm telling you.
Oh.
Yeah. Those especially fuckers.
Especially when you play Halo and Call of Duty.
Yeah. So that's it for you, Jacob.
Woo!
Woo!
Which is good, because my phone's almost dead.
Nice. Well, go do tweets.
Okay.
Do you have any final words before we let you go?
Nah.
Kay. Say it.
No, I don't want to be covered in shit-filled baby diapers, Aki.
Oh, my God. You two are awful.
Farfignugan.
I'm fantastic, thank you, fucker. I'm fantastic, thank you very much.
Good, because it's your turn. Next game to talk about is Ayuden Chronicle Rising, developed by Rabbit and Bear Studios and Natsume Atari, published by 505 Games, released May 10th for Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $14.99. Also available as part of the Xbox Game Pass, Ayuden Chronicle Rising combines a thrilling adventure through ancient ruins with the tale of one town's rise from the ashes. Aki, what's going on in Ayuden Chronicle Rising?
Okay, this is a JRPG, a very small one. And you play as CJ. She is a treasure hunter who's like 15, I think. And she has left home because that's her family right. You leave home and you come back with a treasure bigger than your parents' treasure. And if you don't, you don't fucking come back, because fuck you. That's why. So you're off, and you heard about basically this gold rush, more or less, and you've come to this small little shitty town, and they want to charge you $100,000, basically, to get a permit to do this. You're 15. Would you like to guess how many 15-year-olds have $100,000?
Not many. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And you ain't that one. So instead of doing that, you're given the chance to help townspeople and collect stamps. If you get enough stamps, you're given one of them. So now your whole job is go around town and help people. Namely, by killing monsters and collecting crap for them. That's basically what this game is. Kill some monsters, collect a bunch of shit, give it to the old folks. The game.
Doesn't sound bad.
Yeah, it's fairly enjoyable. You do eventually, you know, help enough people, whatever arbitrary fucking number that is, and you're allowed to go into the ruins, basically, where you continue to help people if you're playing the game properly. If you're just trying to speed through the campaign, I guess you don't technically have to, but you're going to be gimped by the end if you don't. And basically what you're doing is you're trying to get the townspeople and the outlanders, as they call them, which is you and everyone like you who wasn't born in that city. You're trying to make sure they get along, because the people originally from the city really don't fucking like any of you. Not because any of you did anything wrong, but because you're all you. And how dare you be in their town? So you're basically being the peacekeeper between the two factions, all while getting people what they need, which often nets you either money or experience as per usual. But sometimes it also gives you a new store, because lots of the outsiders are trying to open stores. So you help them get stuff to build their store or inventory or whatever. And now you have a place you can buy stuff from. Not that they gave you enough money to do anything with, but they gave you a nice shiny stamp.
Well, you want stamps, right?
Yeah, but CJ is a treasure hunter. Money might be useful. Just a guess. So, you know, you unlock a lot of different stores, be they stores where you can upgrade your gear, which is your primary weapon,
And for CJ, that's a couple of pickaxes, or her armor, which is just her basic ass clothes. And later on, when you get teammates, you can upgrade theirs as well, obviously, as well as buying new weapons, which are just stronger versions of the shit you already have. I don't even know if there's a change in like what you see the character carrying, and armors, and that those definitely don't change. Things like that, or you know, you can get an apothecary for health potions, or a ring place so you can get magical rings that can give you additives to like your health, or I don't really know what all they do because I kind of ignored them most of the game. There's ones that increase like XP or your chance of getting an item when you like when you're mining or cutting down trees to get wood or ore, because you don't get ore from rocks. you know, you have a better chance of getting more items or getting better items. You can get rings that do stuff like that, that just help you with that shit. And, you know, there's a few other stores, but those are the main ones. And you use this to help yourself both in combat and to fulfill the people's needs. There's like 160 times people need you to do crap in the game. Yeah, the only reason I know that is because there was an achievement for doing all 160.
And you said this was a short one.
This took me about 43 hours, something like that.
So it's not a short one.
It's a short JRPG. JRPG, not a short game. It's a short JRPG. Because the average JRPG is a minimum twice that length. And very often, it's in the hundreds of hours. If you're just doing the main campaign, you can pretty much ignore a good chunk of these. Because it takes like 20, 30, something like that, people that you have to help before you get access to the runes to continue the main storyline, I think, something like that. And then at that point, you don't really have to do but a handful more after that. All the rest of them are optional. But you really want to do them because you want to open up the shops, and later on, those shopkeepers will have more quests for you. And if you do those, you can get upgraded items from there. So they just add a little more to the inventory. So, like, for instance, at the first shop where you can upgrade your weapons and your armor to higher levels, you can get like 1 to 5 when you first open it. It goes up to plus 30. So, and it takes like 4 or 5 times of helping the blacksmith, I think it was, upgrade their shop to get it to where it allows you to do that, to get it to plus 30s, and things like that. So you really want to be helping these people, because otherwise you're stuck with your beginning weapon at a plus 5, and you're probably doing like 20-something damage versus... When I ended the game, I had everything because I was doing everything. I had the best weapon, and it was a plus 30, and I was doing like typically around 1,000 damage. You might want to do the little side quests of helping people. The game is very much geared towards you don't have to do it, but you really should, because I don't think you can beat the game without doing them, to be honest. I think it'd gimp you too much. You wouldn't have enough health, enough armor, or enough damage, I don't think. So that's basically what you're doing, is just going down there trying to find treasure and then helping people when they need help. You don't get access to all 160 requests right from the beginning, obviously. You have to continue with the main story, and then a whole bunch more open. You do all those, and then you continue the main story, and then more open, and you keep doing that until the end of the game.
So it has proper game progression?
Yes, it does.
That's good to hear.
There is a overarching story, but it's kind of small, so saying anything about it kind of ruins the whole thing.
Something you got to address, though, is the visuals. This game is pretty. Oh, it's so pretty.
Yes, it is.
It's very so pretty.
Pretty. And there's a lot of different places in this game. It's not like you're looking at one static screen over and over and over. Each one of the areas you go to, like there's the Great Forest. Now, a bunch of that area is foresty, but every screen is completely different. It's kind of like the old original Zelda games where when you walk to the end of the screen, you're suddenly in a new area. Mm. It may be part of it, but it's a new place. So all the backgrounds are completely different in each of those areas. They might all be a forest, but they're all very different. And, you know, you get a bunch of fairly basic enemies. You know, you got what's effectively a slime that comes after you. You get some flying bat-like creatures. You get an interesting little thing that it's a little fluff ball, and if it touches you, it explodes. That was one of the coolest creatures, because at first I was like, oh, that's cute. And I didn't really think it was a bad creature, because it doesn't look like a bad creature. And then it touched me and took away half my health. And I was like,
God.
Yeah, I was like, oh, fuck that thing. you know, nice. And then later on, you get like wizards that are trying to attack you, and bandits and giant hulking behemoth monsters that are like three times your size that pick up flaming rocks and throw them at you and shit. There's lots of different enemies. However, most of them are just alterations between them. Like the big fluffy thing that exploded and took away half my health when I first saw it. There's like four or five different versions of that enemy.
Mm.
Because you have the Great Forest, then you have the quarry, then you have the frozen peaks and some volcano-y place or something. So there's a different version for each area. The forest one standardly explodes. The fire one is a lot of fire damage and can cause you to burn. The icy one is ice damage that can freeze you. The other one, I don't know because I was never hit by it.
Well, based on what you're telling me, it seems like you had a lot of fun with this one. So $14.99, what are your thoughts?
Yes, it's worth that. You're getting like two or three times the hours for every dollar you put into it. I'm 100% for that. It is fantastic. It's really pretty. It's adorable. If you like doing the side quests and stuff in games, you're going to like this. If you don't like that, you're not going to like this game, because this is a bunch of, hey, go out, hit this tree, hope you get, you know, this tree can drop three different items. Hope it drops the one you want, but you need 15 of them, so keep going back and forth. If you're not into that, you're not going to like this game. I usually don't like that, but I like side quests. So the fact that they wrap this up as a side quest kind of
side quest, the video game.
Yeah, this is a lot of side quests, the video game, because all the main game parts are done really quick. Granted, lots of these are too. Mostly what really takes all the time in this game is just getting the resources needed to like level up gear and shit. Because not only do you need money for that, which is hard to come by in and of itself, but you also need specific items, and some of those are really fucking hard to find. but I'm for it. I like the game. I totally think it's worth the price.
Cool. All right. We got one final game to talk about tonight. That is called Divination Console Edition, developed by Mojiken and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft. Released May 18th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $4.99. Hear the stories of your clients, read their future in the runes, and piece together the truth of a dying world. Aki, what is going on in Divination Console Edition?
I would tell you, but there's not much there, actually. You can beat this game in about 10 minutes, maybe 15. In this, you play as a pair of robotic arms. That's it. People come in and talk to you. Somehow you can hear it, even though you're just arms. And you divine stuff. Basically, they tell you what they want to know. You can ask them some questions. Which you don't actually have to do, but you can. And then they reach into a little bowl and pick a couple pebbles. And the pebbles have little runes on them, and you take them out of their hand somewhere on this little grid that you have.
Did something just happen? You went quiet for like 4 seconds, and I didn't hear anything there.
No, I was still talking.
That was weird.
What did you miss?
Whatever you said in the past 5 seconds.
okay, so... So you take the pebbles from the people, because you heard that part, right?
Yeah.
And you place them on this weird little grid thing, and it creates a picture. And, you know, depending on how you place the pebbles, the picture will change. And then when you feel like, oh, this is the picture that I want to give this person, it doesn't tell you what the fucking picture means until you've selected it. So you have to be like, well, then sure, this works, whatever, I don't care, is basically the name of this game. Then the picture goes up, and then your character, there's a screen behind the character, the people that are talking to you, and it tells them basically what the symbol means to answer their question. You do this 4 times, and that's the end of the game.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah, well, in between each one of these characters, it shows what's going on in the world around them, which seems to be like an uprising because robots aren't allowed to kill themselves.
Hmm.
That's pretty much it. It can be completed really quickly.
Yeah, sounds like it. So $5. What do you think?
Yeah, yeah. Even if you don't like it, this is a fuck it, why not? It's cheap. It's easy to finish. If you hate it, there's a guide online because you only have to beat it 1 time.
That's not bad. So
yeah. Yeah, there's 3 achievements related to each one of the divinations. One for when they first walk in. One for you asking the questions that you can ask. And one for giving them the divination. As long as you ask them all the questions that you can ask them before you start the divination, you will get 12 out of the 14 achievements right there. Then one achievement is for beating the game with any ending, and the other is for beating the game with 100% chaos ending.
Hmm.
So you can just get the 100% chaos ending and get all 14 achievements all in one go, which is what I did. Yeah, it's super easy. So yes, just it's a fuck it, why not? Just do it.
Cool. All right, well, that is it for this episode. It was a quicker one. I like quicker ones.
Next week's going to be real quick.
No, the week after.
Oh, it's not next week?
No, Jacob's here next week, and then the week after he's off.
Oh, he's off for the second. Was next week.
Nah,
okay.
No, nah, you're putting up with him for another week, and then we get a week off. Well, we don't get a week off. He gets a week off. We get a week off from him.
That's a week off as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Close enough. You know what I mean.
Does he have to be here next week?
I mean, he has reviews, so yes.
Fine.
Music. This episode, we're going to end with some stemmage from Soundfall. We've been playing a lot of Soundfall. I'm going to keep playing Soundfall. So stemmage is going to be played. And, do you have any final words to end the show?
I need to start Soundfall.
Yeah, you do. It's a really good one.
Yeah, I have it installed because I was expecting to play that this week, and then I got 2 games in this week, and I was like, oh, because neither of them are small. So, yeah, I'll get to that at some point soonly, hopefully, maybe.
Soonly.
Hopefully, maybe.
Music.